The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am going away, and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, He's not going to kill himself, is he? Because he said, Where I am going, you cannot come. He said to them, You belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, What I told you from the beginning. I have much to say about you in condemnation, but the one who sent me is true, and what I heard from him I tell the world. They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what is pleasing to him. Because he spoke this way, many came to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a terribly important passage. I don't know quite how it appears at first glance. It's like what exactly is going on, right? What's the exchange? I think some of that is because at least some of our confusion in approaching the passage is that of course we sing praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We stand up and it's a solemn recitation and the rest. And we think that perhaps the people of Jesus's day are in a similar position to us, interested in his words. Yeah, maybe this guy can teach us a thing or two. But it's really not what's going on. Yeah, and we see that, I think, right in the beginning as a bit of a scene setter. And then we have to allow that to kind of work its way through the passage. Jesus says, quite directly, you will die in your sins. Right? I mean, this isn't the stuff of a kind of pleasant classroom exchange. It's not. This is not what happens in the classroom. You will die in your sins. I am going away. You will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Yeah. So there's already conflict there, right? There's already a lot of conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, between Jesus and the Judeans that he is that he's in conversation with here. So, yeah. We have to see that and appreciate that because, of course, we're in Passion Tide here, so we're going to kind of experience that growing crescendo towards the crucifixion. Certainly wrongly, it says something they would view what happened on Good Friday as something of a messy accident or something. It's like, Jesus had this great public career. He's going along. He's doing great things. And then, kind of got snuffed out at the end there. It was a bit of a surprise to people. If you read the scripture, it's really not a surprise. I mean, the conflict is not being withdrawn at any point. It's just further and further intensified. So this is what we're going to see as we make our way through. Okay, you belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. This is significant, right? Jesus is simply doing the will of the Father. Yeah, and this is why in other Gospels we'll see, that his mother and brother and his brothers and sisters and mother are they who do the will of God, right? So this is it. Jesus is simply doing the will of God. So what you see in him, what he's working, what his teachings and the like, this is all an embodiment of the true and living God. This is what it means to belong to what is above, right? I don't want to get into this kind of split-level view of the universe, right? Heaven's up there, somewhere out there. Earth is down here. No, the tradition and even the living tradition of the church speaks with one voice on this, and not heaven is up there and earth is down here. You'll hear us, I think I read in St. Jose Maria the other day, that man is to have his his head in the heavens and his feet on the ground, his feet on the earth. Right? Man lives at the intersection of heaven and earth. So belonging to what is above doesn't mean Jesus is a daydreamer. It means he's the truly human being, in the sense that he lives at the intersection of heaven and earth. His entire life is to bring heaven to earth. And that's what your whole life is about as well, as a human being made in the image and likeness of God. That's what it means. It means that you're a heaven and earth combination. Yeah, one to channel one way and to channel the other way. Yeah, to bring earth to heaven and heaven to earth. He belongs to what is above. He's doing the will of the Father. Yeah, and he holds fast to what endures. What endures? God's own life. Yeah, God's life is eternal, and God is an eternal exchange of glorifying love. Yeah, so this is what it means to belong to above. What it means to belong to God is that our lives are made to embody God's eternal exchange of glorifying love. And so it's all love. Yeah, and this is what Jesus is holding on to, and what he's exhorting the people to join him in. Because his sense of, you know, it's not like you will die in your sin, like, you know, well, we're just kind of chilling out, nobody's really doing anything, and, you know, we're in a classroom setting, right? It's not that big a deal. You're going to die in your sin. Okay, well, Jesus, tell us how to not die in our sin. This is not the point. The point is that, you know, Israel of Jesus' day is headed, directly for conflict with Rome that will see them wiped out. And he's saying, you're going to die in your sin. You're going to bring the walls down on yourself here. Yeah. So it's not simply that the people are just hanging out. There's really not that much wrong with them, except that perhaps they need a different religious experience in order to get them through, you know, their lives or whatever. This is not what's happening. What's happening is that the people's hearts, because they've gone astray, right? They're not centered on the true and living God. They are themselves courting destruction. And Jesus is there to say, it doesn't have to be this way. You know, you will die in your sin. You're going to pull the walls down on you. This is going to end in calamity for you. If you don't follow me, if you likewise don't hold on to what is above, right? If you don't yourselves pursue and embrace the plan of God, the will of God, which is nothing other than love and the way of self-giving love. If you don't pursue that, you're going to be wiped out. There's no saving you at that point. Like, this is significant for us. Why? Because, again, sometimes we see it's like, we have our lives, yeah, and then we have like some kind of veneer of Christianity, right? We have the appearance of being Christians, yeah? And sometimes, let's give ourselves some credit here, Father. Yeah, okay. Well, sometimes that veneer is thicker than others, you know. Like, at some points, a very thin veneer of Christianity in our lives. But the point is that this is really not Christianity. In the same way that, you know, Jesus saying you're going to die in your sins. Actually, it's where is the core of your being? You know, where are you grounded? What's the foundation of your life? What are you holding on to? Yeah, what is most important to you? What do you worship? Yeah, this is it, right? So are we centered? Are our hearts and our lives centered on the true and living God, or are they not? If they are not, we are headed for destruction. And we're headed, it's not, I shouldn't say it like that. We're not just simply headed for destruction. We're in the process of both destroying ourselves and destroying the world. In the sense that we're made to live at the intersection of heaven and earth. It's only with our hearts and our minds trained on Christ Jesus. It's only with our hearts and minds trained on the true and living God that we can accomplish the plans of God, that we can live as creatures made in his image and likeness. Otherwise, we simply won't be effective in channeling heaven for earth. We won't be effective in summing up creation's praise and turning it over to God. We simply won't be who we were made to be. And that's what Jesus came to do, is to restore us as God's image bearers so that we could be back about the task, and so that all of the many world's disasters and crises can be averted. There was, again, St. Jose Maria who said the crises of the world crises are all crises of saints. Exactly right. Exactly right. And we are called to be saints everywhere in the world, in all walks of life, right? In all occupations, everywhere. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be. And it's not simply then a matter of averting the world's crises, which of course we're called to do only simply by living as saints in the midst of the world, but also bringing God's good world to its full flourishing. That state of affairs that He has always willed and that He is now accomplishing in and through Jesus's faithful followers.